So just what I mean with being confidential and keeping it all to yourself, you develop something with a customer. So customers are either willing to work with you or not. Are they willing to work with us? Most of them are. We show them what our suppliers can do, what the newest machinery is, what the newest ideas are. And you can't find that out yourself when you're a customer, when you're a carpet manufacturer. You don't have the time to travel around the world and go look for all these suppliers because you have a factory, a business to run. And this is what we do.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Spinning Values by BK Long, where we delve into the fascinating world of textiles. Your host is Karthik Chaudhary. Today, we have a very special guest joining us from the Netherlands, Michael Swagmaker. He is the founder and driving force behind Swatech, a dynamic yarn agency that has been reshaping the carpet yarn market in Europe. In this episode, Michael takes us through his incredible journey in the textile industry, sharing insights into his company's operations, the importance of customer-centric business practices, and the evolving landscape of textiles and sustainability. From the technical aspects of yarn production to the intricacies of maintaining strong, confidential client relationships, Michael provides a wealth of knowledge that is sure to inspire professionals and enthusiasts alike. So sit back, relax, and get ready for an insightful journey into innovation, sustainability, and the future of the textile industry with Michael Swagmaker of Swatech. Let's dive in.
Hi, Michael. Welcome to Spinning Values by BK Long. It's a very interesting and a new kind of a thing that we've started. Probably this might be the first of its kind textile podcast in the world. So thank you for joining us today. And hopefully we are looking at an insightful conversation. So Michael, before we begin, why don't you start with your introduction and, you know, let the listeners know what do you do, where you are, what is your company all about?
All right. Well, first of all, thank you very much for inviting me and having this opportunity. Well, we are a small company based in Holland called Swatech. We are a yarn agency, although we take the agency part a bit further of doing massive traveling permanently. As you can see, I'm in the car also now. I'm always traveling. We are mainly into carpet yarns, grass yarns, which are being produced in India or in Turkey. What we do with the three of us, we travel in Belgium, Holland, Germany, Denmark, England, Spain, France, mainly going to see customers, making the gap a bit smaller between Turkey, India, and doing all the developments, making sure that all the samples are done right, getting all the information, and chasing up sampling, production, planning, paperwork, which is a huge thing, and transport nowadays, it's not very easy. And that's what we do. We used to do it ourselves. So we were involved in own manufacturing in Belgium and in Poland. So we had our own manufacturing factories. So we know what it is to produce a yarn. And unfortunately, that more and more yarn producers, spinning mills, extrusion mills, are moving east. And since it's a very price-driven industry, textile, with 2 digits behind the comma, there's not a lot of room of produce basically a standard product in this part of the world here in Western Europe.
Okay. So because you touched upon, I mean, what you do, and you know, it seems like it's all about, if not all about, there's a huge percentage of your work that goes into carpets. So BK Long is pretty well known for their VCF yarn production in India, and it's probably one of the biggest players manufacturing VCF. So tell us about your partnership with BK Long. How did it start? And, you know, since they supply VCF yarn to you, what is the scope of carpet market in Europe generally?
Well, obviously, when you do this 6 days a week minimum for 20, 30 years, you know all about all the producers all over Europe, all over Asia, India, everywhere. We know BK Long for a long time, but the real connection came when one of my business friends, Mr. Martin, who is now the production officer there, who is Dutch, and I used to work with him, that makes a huge difference. So it's a lot easier to communicate. It's a lot easier to understand each other's wishes, what the customer wants, the culture. And it simply gives also the customer a better feeling that there are some Dutch people in the factory who actually live in Silvassa. Just makes it all a bit smoother. And Charles, we travel a lot over there. Martin comes over here. We try to keep, although India is very far away, it comes a bit closer that way. So that's actually how we met long time ago, 20 years ago, I think. But now since 2 years, we work with Bikalom and we go there every couple of months and they come over here and we travel to the customers. So, and it's growing very fast and very well, actually. So as in all kinds of products.
Sure. Can you tell us some of the products that you procure from Bikalom?
Yes. Well, there are two types of products, as you mentioned yourself. There's the FDY yarn, which is very fine yarns used in all kinds of textile industry. And next to that, there is BCF yarns, bulk continuous filaments, mainly used, so actually only used in carpets. So these two we sell. The very fine yarns go into very soft carpets, into rugs, also 4 meter wide carpets. We sell those to the carpet tufters and weavers in Western Europe. And these are made out of polyester. A huge advantage is that there is also a big market for recycled polyester, which is very convenient from India. There's a lot of rPET available, but not too much money. Next to that, we do our BCF yarns as in polyprop, as in polyamide, as in polyester and recycled polyester. And that can be anything from residential carpets to contract carpets for hotels, and automotive car mats, for scraper mats, for doors, for mattings. So it's quite wide. It's a reasonably endless market.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, Martin, I've been trying to convince Martin to join Bollywood for a long time, but he refuses to do so. he resembles one Bollywood actor, and I had told him, and everyone at Bikalom agreed with him that, yeah, he does resemble one Bollywood actor. So that was fun. So, yes. Okay. So that's interesting. And thank you for the information. So we also wanted to know what are your views and what do you think is the scope of the carpet market generally in Europe and how is it? Like, is it mainly used for house rugs? Do people mainly buy carpets for just the beauty of it, or there is a functional element to it?
So there's a big market for 4 meter wide carpet, and next to that there is rugs. Now, the 4 meter wide carpet is mainly used for residential. So apartments, rental houses, bedrooms, staircases. It also is an insulating product, so it keeps, in the winter, it's more comfortable than hard flooring. So you see it a lot on the second floor in a house. Next to that, there is rugs, of course, rugs on hard floor. That can be either polyester, polyprop, or polyamide in BCF or FDY. Then there is the polyamide BCF market, which is mainly used for contract carpets, which is carpet tiles of broad loom 4 meter wide, cut pile or loop pile carpet for hotels, for banks, for businesses, anything. So those are different types of markets. And when one shrinks, the other one usually goes up, or the other way around. So, yeah. And that's the game we're in. That's what we're playing in this area and this part of the world. So you have factories here who only do mats. You have factories who only do residential or only do contracts, usually branded names. We also do, but not from Bikalom, we also do polyethylene grass yarns, which is a different market again. This is all within where our office is, within 200-300 kilometers, that whole market is around here, Western Europe, Northwestern Europe, the producers.
Okay. And do you see the market growing? And if it's growing, then how well is it growing, or it has been stagnant? And what is your observation around it?
Soft flooring is residential, is not growing. It has been decreasing for quite a while now. That doesn't mean there's still a huge volume. There's still big players out there. And as we all know, it goes up and down with 10, 20 years. And again, as I said before, the resident contract market is reasonably steady, and depending on house market, rentals, etc. Grass, the turf business is going up. So when one goes up, the other one goes down. So it's still a big business, as simply said.
Okay. So tell us, I mean, with your extensive experience in the D&D space, how have you seen the technology and innovation evolve in this sector, particularly in terms of innovation? Like, have you seen, you know, has it become more efficient?
Has yes, quality absolutely. Increased? So when we started in the 90s, where there was still a huge market for staple fiber yarn, slowly moving away, being replaced by BCF yarns, man-made fibers, whereby there was, as everywhere, a price pressure. Machine market jumped into that, selling, producing, developing machines which were quicker, which could make better yarn. Runability was better, higher output, and lower cost price. So yes, there is a big evolution going on, I would say, started mainly 20 years ago, where you have a one-step yarn with three colors instead of a two-step yarn, for example. Complex machinery, very expensive German complex machinery, but that's what the market is.
And tell us about Smartech, about the company, and as in, what is its unique proposition? What sets it apart from other players in the market? And also, can you share some important key factors that has contributed to Smartech's success and reputation in the market?
Well, we started Smartech already 15 years ago when we came out of spinning. Ourselves, so we knew the market, we knew the customers. What we saw a lot is there's a lack of commercial effect following up stuff. So everybody was focused, not everybody, but a lot of people were focused on high production, high output, low prices, quick, and forgetting about all the rest, about quality, about following up on wishes, following up on trends, following up on trials. In this market, there are trials all over the place. Everybody wants to be ahead of the other one. Having said that, if you have 40 or 50 customers, which we do, you have to be very confidential not to show product A to customer B, et cetera, so, and that's what's setting, I believe, that's what we do our best for, and to set us apart from others, to keep it confidential and get the best out of it for the customer, but also for the producer, of course. And we always look for the long-lasting business. So we try to set up ranges with 5, 10, 20 colors, which takes a long time. And then you grow into ranges, which will last in a couple of years. And that's what we do. And then we have rather two people, Luc, who is over 60. He has 40 years experience in making yarn. He's very good in the technical side. He follows up on trials, on paperwork, also travels a lot. And we have a young guy called Joep. And he's usually with me, helping me with all the rest of it. So again, traveling and following up on stuff.
So basically what you are saying is you have built a strong customer-centric culture. And the fact that what I was trying to understand more is about, like you had said something about confidentiality and how it sort of makes it a unique value proposition. So have I understood it right? Like that's something... Is it like Correct. An ethical practice that you have consciously, like, did you sit down one day and decided that this is how we are going to go, or did it just organically came into your organization?
Yes, that's also a bit how you've been raised or grown up. You have to be correct and honest to everybody. And I think we can say honestly, in the last 20 or 30 years, we have never lost a customer. So we've never had a huge argument where we fell out because we did something which was not allowed. Especially in any market, it's now textiles, but if there are two competitors and someone has a new product, which we happen to supply, you don't go running around it with it, go to the next one. Then your name will be gone within 3 months, which you have built up in 5 years or 10 years. So that's what I mean with being confidential and keeping it all to yourself. You develop something with the customer. So customers are either willing to work with you or not. Are they willing to work with us? Most of them are. We show them what our suppliers can do, what the newest machinery is, what the newest ideas are. And you can't find that out yourself when you're a customer, when you're a carpet manufacturer. You don't have the time to travel around the world and go look for all these suppliers because you have a factory, a business to run. and this is what we do. So we have actually, especially for a small company as ours, a huge turnover, but we get a very, very small commission fee, but it works for us. We have a very small office and that's about it. So we're actually never in the office since we're always traveling.
Right. And so I am curious to know that how did you end up in this industry? What drew you to it? Was it again a conscious choice that you made or did it just happen?
Well, I think everybody has a point in their lives where they have to say, well, what are you going to study? So you're either going to make some food because people will keep eating, or you do something in textiles because you don't want to run around naked on the street. So I chose the last one. But having said that, my father, grandfather, etc., they're always in the spinning mill industry in Holland, in Tilburg. And that was always wooden spinning going back more than 100 years. So there was always an interest for that. That whole industry in Holland has disappeared. Wool and cotton was huge in Holland. All went away within 5 years in the 70s. They all moved east. And that's a bit how it got my attention and interest. When I was 18, 19, I went to Germany to study textile techniques. Germany, high-tech textile machinery, that's where it all made. So that seemed to me the perfect place to learn it. So I stayed there for 4 years.
Yeah.
In the school there and went to work in a spinning mill. And that's how it started.
Oh, okay. Interesting. So now from there, obviously, I mean, we work with a lot of textile companies in India, but, you know, as an agency, you know, we are helping some small players in the market to build their brands. And we are sort of always trying to convince them that why brand is important, you know, because a lot of these guys are traders, you know, they do business like traders. Their work ethic is old school. They are still on their phones putting orders, and we are always trying to help them digitize their business. Mm-hmm. What is your point of view on that? What do you think? Do you think brands matter in the yarn industry, or do you think it's still a relationship network game and do you see it evolving?
Yes. Well, in the position where we are in, it's more the relationship, because we're a business to business, and a brand is more and more likely for the end consumer, my opinion. So you have to convince the customer, person who buys it in the shop, that you buy a brand. We are the person in the middle. So we are selling a brandless brand, actually, and just always trying to get the best value for money. That's always
brandless. Okay. But like when you are choosing a partner, say like BKLON or a manufacturer that you buy yarn from, what are the key elements that you are usually looking at when you sort of shortlist someone and finally go with a manufacturer?
Well, what I find most important is who is behind the company. Is it a family?
Okay.
Is it venture capital, which we do not prefer? So we always work with families. Families who own a company, usually second or third generation, who know what it is, who have a company, who are really into it, who take their business home, so to say, as we do. It can't be a too small company, so there has to be some volume behind it, and it can't be massive. So preferably all in one town or one village. And of course, it's all about, it's people's business. So you have to like the people, they have to like us.
Sure.
It has to be a click, so we say. More machinery. We can't work with old machinery. There's been modern machinery, good laboratories. We look at the offices, the people capable of all the paperwork and all the questions asked, and quick responses are very important. And that all has to do again with people and the owners and the management, as with BKLON, which is perfect.
Yeah, that sounds about right. So Michael, now we are just coming to the second half of the conversation, and you know, soon we'll be wrapping it up. So I wanted to ask with you, I mean, we do hear a lot about sustainability and this push towards for all the manufacturers, even in countries like India and China, towards sustainability. I wanted your point of view on it. Do you look at sustainability? Like, is it something you look at in the kind of business that you do? What is your point of view on that?
Yes, I believe everybody would love to have a very sustainable world, but we all have to work within the square where you win, and you can't go across certain lines, possibilities. More and more, there is a recycled content in any polymer, especially polyester. And as I said before in this conversation, in India, there's a very good, reliable source for rPET, which we're using more and more, and that works very well. So recycled content, it costs a bit more. It's being accepted in the market. That's good. But it's not only what we, and that's for everybody. It doesn't mean that when we develop something together with the supplier and the customer, and it has a recycled content, it's also what is very, very important. What happens with the product after 5 years when it's no more use, or after 10 years, no more use at the consumer, what do they do with it? So it's not only us producing something, it's where is the circle going more and more and more. We have hardly any influence in that, but that's what we believe the world should be changing into. Where does the waste go? I know there's a huge industry and lots of people working on that, but yes, recycled polyester helps in that. A carpet is made of multiple polymers, multiple types, and that's usually old-fashioned way, latex on the back, which doesn't help. So there are customers who are looking for a mono product, for example, a polyester yarn with a polyester cloth with a polyester backing. These are things we can all supply. Of course, this is more expensive than the classic volume. So it's not big, but it's growing. There is a lot of interest in that. And we believe that the governments will play a part in that soon. Like in the automotive industry, whereby the big brands say we need a certain percentage of recycled content in your product, which is fair, which is good.
Sure. So actually you did answer the next question that I was going to ask. That is there like any specific demands from the consumer that you get, and are the consumers, according to you, are becoming more conscious about the products they are buying, or you still think there is still a big gap in educating? Because ultimately the market forces, you know, they cater to what the consumer demands. So do you think that trend changing?
I believe every consumer prefer a recycled product, even if it's electronics or textiles or car. But we all have to be realistic. It can only be a very small part. So we all have to do our best not to consume too much, which most producers don't want to hear, but that's the fact. We all want recycled products, but you can't all have it. It has to do with quality, availability, price, et cetera, et cetera.
So, Michael, my penultimate question for you is, you've spoken about the history of your company. We've learned about your background, which sounds pretty interesting, and it seems you are at the right place in your life coming from your previous generations. But what is ahead? What is the future vision? How do you see Swartek, say, in the next 5, 10+? And then after that, what is your future? And is there any particular growth or innovation or any technology that you are excited about?
Of course, nobody can predict the future, but what we are aiming for is more high-end. So polyamide, which is a more constant, long-life product. Difficult to develop, takes a long time, smaller volume, lots of traveling. So it's polyamide and recycled polyester and polyester. That's mainly what we're focusing on. Obviously, polyprop will always be the main big volume. Next to that, in Swartek, we also have Swartek Agricultural, which is a separate brand whereby we sell textiles to the agricultural industry in Western Europe, to Spain, France, Holland, Belgium, Germany, baling nets, ropes, all kinds of products, wrapping foil, which is also an enormous market. And usually these products are being made by the same people who we already deal with for the carpets, for the carpet yarns. It's all made out of the same polymers, film, rope, nets. It's all woven or knitted. So we might as well try and sell that, which works very fine. We're doing that now for 3 years, and there are some large amounts of containers coming this way from Turkey and from India. So that works well. So that's our focus also. So to more diversify, not only in carpets, but artificial grass, carpet tiles, and looking at every opportunity, of course. So if something comes along, but having said that, with the three of us, I believe we each do between 50 and 80 hours a week, and we're usually not at home. So you have to watch out that you still do what you do right, and you have enough time for that. But yes, we're all motivated, even if you're 25 or 60, it doesn't really matter. We're all very motivated, and we're all, as you see, we're in a parking lot in between customers. So,
yeah. Okay. That's really good to hear, and wish you all the luck for your future goals. Six now, my years. Last question to you is, as I mentioned in the beginning, that there are a lot of students also that listen to this podcast, or are young professionals or people who are just entering the industry. I mean, they are from different fields. They could be managers, they could be engineers. So because you have such a vast experience in this field, can you give some advices on kind of what skills or mindset do you believe are more crucial to be successful in this industry for all the young people who are listening?
That's a very wide, difficult question, which is unanswerable. But as I said, I'm a proud father of three children. And as I tell them, try to have a goal, short term and long term, work towards that, go for your goal, be honest, be nice to the people around you. And it's not about money. It's about having a goal to do what you like to do, and possibly make the world a bit better. So that's what you should be doing. And be happy at the end of the day that you've done a good job for yourself and for the people around you. And just work hard, have discipline, and try to learn as much as you can.
Okay, that sounds about right. So thank you so much, Michael, for joining us.
Thank you very much.
This episode of Spinning Values. I know you have a busy schedule, and we did it on a very short notice also. So I hope people gain some insights. Just while we say goodbye to the audience, just let us know where people can learn more about Swartech. You have a website. We'll keep all the links. Just if you can tell people what is your website, and if you have LinkedIn or any social media.
We have LinkedIn. We have LinkedIn. We're very easy to find on the swartech.eu, Europe. Very easy. And on LinkedIn, you'll find us very quickly. Swartech, Yarns and More. And that's where we are. And we'll be posting lots of things what we're doing. So there we are.
Thank you so much, Michael. Thank you for your time. Thank you for joining us.
That's all we have for episode 11. We hope you enjoyed listening to this conversation. This is an original podcast by BKLon Synthetics. Do visit bklon.com to listen to the rest of the episodes, or follow us on Spotify or Apple. This podcast was produced by Inkscape Media, hosted by Karthik Chaudhary, and edited by Rajiv Nedumaran. Thank you for listening to Spinning Values.